Keith Martinez, and I'm from the Pioneer Generation in South Dakota. I go to Villanova University.
Okay, so where do you live right now?
I live in Scarsdale, New York. So I was born in South Dakota, where we moved around a bit, but eventually we stayed on the reservation where I spent most of my childhood. And then sophomore year of high school, when I got in the STEP program, I went and stayed with the host family in Scarsdale, New York. And since then, I've gone on to college, but my family has been on the reservation ever since I left.
Now, what is the STEP program? Explain that to me.
The STEP program, it's the Academic Stands for Student Transfer Education Plan. And every year they select a student who has good grades, is well represented of their school, and has good character. They usually go down south to go for like an inner city student. But my year they went out to a reservation and I got accepted. They only do one student out of the whole country year, so I was the class of 2012. And then you go stay with the host family in Scarsdale, New York, and finish out junior and senior year of high school, and then they help you get into a college, help you prepare for college and make that transition.
How did you feel about, native or not, how did you feel about being the only student in the country chosen for this?
It was a big deal. I kind of saw it like that. It's my ticket to college. I always knew I wanted to go to college, and I was kind of like, that's my big break. I knew it was more in me, because once I went, I know I was an inspiration not only for my brothers, but for like a lot of students where I'm from. Because a lot of kids, they want to go out and see the world and do things. So it's, being able to do that, it makes me really proud that I got the thing and humbled to get it. And I always try to give back and recruit other students to try to do the same thing. We actually have a girl, her name's Summer. She actually got into a STEP program, and she'll be starting this fall in Scarsdale.
So you said we have. Who is we?
We as in the STEP program and the College of Children Enrichment kind of work together to try to recruit more students every year. So as the collective, that's what I meant by we.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify. You're fine. All right, so you got in the STEP program. You went over there to New York. Let's start with the culture shock, if any, that took place when you went from, you're from Kyle originally?
Yes.
Yeah, so you grew up in this small town on a reservation, and you went from there to not New York City, but pretty close, and a much different environment than you were used to. How did you react to that?
Yeah, so moving from Kyle to Scarsdale, New York, was going from reservation to probably one of the wealthiest counties in the whole country, if not the world. The culture shock was very different. I mean, it's very difficult, actually, because back home in Kyle, a small town, like, you knew everyone. It's a lot slower pace. And then when I got to New York, everything's fast-paced. You might not know everyone. And people were just into a lot of different things than they were back home. But one of the things that I did, the biggest thing that got me through making the transition was getting involved in school sports as a three-season athlete. I found a lot of students that were into similar things of myself, like myself, because, I mean, we like the same sports and we connected on like a bunch of different levels. A lot of my best friends now are from my sports teams.
And what sports did you get involved in?
I played football, track. I tried wrestling. I did winter spring track. But my favorite overall was football. I miss it every day. Wish I could still play, but not playing in college and I'm too old for high school, so.
What position did you play?
I played fullback and linebacker. I liked linebacker more, so.
So I'm going to presume you're a husky guy.
Yeah.
What's your height and weight?
I'm 5'10", somewhere around 5'9", really. About 190.
Oh, okay. So you went to Westchester County, but over the ensuing years, since the time you went there to now, you've come back, right? You've come back on breaks and such.
Yeah, so I've been back to the reservation as often as I can. I've been back and I've gone to a couple of different youth service weeks and different things that we've got done through the Cold Children Nurture, our award ceremonies for writing our challenges. And usually when I go back, I try and meet with our youth advisory board, and I've gone and spoken at multiple middle schools and elementary schools at on the reservation. And some of the students, they just take in what I'm saying. I guess one of my favorite times from that is this sixth grader. I forget his name, but afterwards he came up to me and he's like, "How's Villanova University? Like, what do I have to do to get to there? It sounds like a really cool place." And that just let me know at least one of the students was taking in what I was saying about putting in hard work now pays off in the future, even though it might not seem like it. So I do go back and I try to give back and inspire other kids to pursue education because I know that's the key to the future. So
Very cool. How old are you?
I'm 21, 20, I'll be 22 in October.
Okay, so all right. So you go back to the reservation for that. But what I was getting at, whether I put it in the story or it's just included on the interview, there are people who will hear that. I play devil's advocate during interviews. There are people who will hear this that will think of the boarding school system, whether it's accurate or not, here, and they may be Native American, they may be white, but they'll hear about some Native kid being, quote, taken out of his environment and brought to this non-Native environment, and they'll have flashbacks to all those negatives that the boarding school system involved, and then you get to come home on breaks or vacation, but then you have to go back again. I'm presuming your life is much different in the environment that you're in than the historic tragedies of Native Americans who were forced to go to boarding schools.
The STEP program here in Scarsdale, it's not a boarding school. You stay with the host family. They have a board, and they never have more than two students, one junior, one senior. It's really a supportive, collective group of people. I always joke around and say it's like having 30 different moms in a whole nother part of the country. But yeah, going back, going between the two was completely different lifestyles, and making that transition every time I went back or to Kyle or every time I would go back to New York, it was always like a week or so when I have to like realize like get back into the groove of things almost. But I think they made it like really easy for me to make that transition. And I know it makes me know that it's definitely possible than what history has always made it seem to be, that it's always going to be this bad situation. It's not going to be for the best, but if done right, I mean, the transition and being able to adapt to both was great. I think it's actually really beneficial in my growth because I got to see two different parts of the world, and now I know where I want to be and what I want to be involved in one more part of the culture of one culture, I mean, and what I want to be involved in as part of the other culture. So I kind of like mix that. I think it really helped me mature and develop, being able to see both sides of the spectrum.
Cool. Just a few more questions, and we'll get to your goals in a minute, but let's stay at the reservation for a second. Again, I've been here for like 20 years, and I know some progressive, quote, Native Americans, and I know traditionals, etc. Where do you put yourself in those descriptions as far as maintaining the traditions of your culture and staying in touch with staying in touch with the res? I don't mean staying in touch physically. I mean staying in touch with the culture. How are you able to do that?
Yeah, staying in touch is definitely difficult when not being because I do like tend to like one thing I always think about is like all the stuff my grandfather has taught me about the Native American culture and different ceremonies and stuff. One of the things he always told me is like you might not always be able to attend maybe a ceremony or something, but anytime Tintashe comes into your thought, which is Sioux for grandfather or God, to just stop and take a moment and pray to your ancestors, and then that will that'll get you through until the next MOA. And that's one of the biggest things that I do. I'll speak to my grandfather on the phone, and we talk about all things. He's one of my biggest supporters. I always remember what he's talked to me about, and I try to keep those thoughts in mind, especially when times get hard and I feel like maybe I want to go home, because homesickness is definitely a big part of it too, because culture of on the reservation, Native Americans, is close-knit family-style culture. And then I talk to my mom and brothers, and I just try, that's like how I get through it, try the next time I could go home and visit.
What is your grandfather's name?
Moby Martinez, Molby.
Okay, all right, let's go through, and then we'll get to your goals and what you want to do in education and life. Tell me about you have three different scholarships. You have the Presidential, the Gates, and now the Truman. What came first, and go through each of them. Tell me what each one provides for you.
Okay, so at Villanova, I have the Presidential Scholarship, which is a full ride, all expenses paid, tuition, room, board, books. It's given through Villanova itself. It's a specific to Villanova scholarship. It comes with good merit, GPA. I had to do interviews for it. And with that, I maintain funding as long as I maintain a good academic standard and GPA status. And then the Gates scholarship came along right at the same time. It's also a full ride scholarship, but the difference between the two is Gates scholarship was its own organization, and I could apply it to any college in the country that I chose to go to, as long as I got accepted into the college on my own power. Once I got that, I knew I could go almost anywhere, all expenses paid, and that was for undergrad. And then the Truman scholarship is also the most recent one. It's a national competitive scholarship as well, but it applies to graduate school up to $30,000, and that one's also based off of merit, good grades, community service, different things like that. And I could use that one either next fall or two falls from now, or I could defer it up to 5 years, and then if I go work and then go back to grad school. So that's really good to have that in my back pocket.
Yeah, that's a nice thing to have in your back pocket.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go over. What are you studying right now? What are you majoring in, and why did you choose that major?
So right now at Villanova undergrad, I'm studying communication, specifically PR concentration. So I chose that major because I want to go into either the nonprofit sector or the public policy sector after graduation. And communications, the way the major is structured at Villanova is you have to take public speaking, journalism, campaigning, media, marketing. And I figure those will all be beneficial things no matter which way I go for graduate school and or career-wise, being policy or the nonprofit sector.
How are you finding those courses? Do you find them interesting, or how are you finding the very public speaking, et cetera? Are you comfortable with these things, or what?
Yeah, I mean, the public speaking course is really good. It came right when the same semester I took the course, it was when I did my first public speaking event, so it really helped me out. I like most of the majority of courses. One of my courses now, we focus a lot on PR, but half the year we focused a lot on the new social media and how to deal with that, and that was really interesting because it's preparing us for basically what the future of any type of communication is, which is going to be the social media network. So we talked about different things and how companies deal with that and individuals, and it was a really interesting course. We saw a lot of different company examples, and it was really cool.
Okay, so that's what you're studying now. What do you hope to do when you go to graduate school, which would be through the does Gates cover that, or is that just through the Truman Scholarship?
Actually, the Gates Scholarship as well will provide funding up to 10 years of schooling. So with Gates and the Truman, the only thing Gates is specific on which graduate school programs they will help fund, because they want kids going to more non-traditional graduate majors to kind of get the, I guess, disparity more different levels of minorities in different majors. But anyway, I do plan, right now I'm playing with the, I have priority acceptance into all the Ivy Leagues for graduate school for a master's. So that's what I'm looking at now. I'm not 100% sure where I want to go yet. I have figured that out next 6 months if I decide to go right after senior year. But if I do, I do plan on going for public policy or Native American studies or both combined, a master's in that.
And what's the goal? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to pursue that course of study? One, you know, what do you plan to do with it once you, presumably once you pursue it and get a master's in that?
All right, so my end goal after graduate school, like I said before, it'd be to go into nonprofits or public policy, or and then maybe a politician when I'm older, a little wiser, I guess. So that way I can make a difference for, like, different things. And because I feel like a lot of times there's no voice for, like, a lot of the reservations when it comes to policy. And that's one of my biggest goals. Either I make that voice through becoming a politician or through the nonprofit sector. But then also I also just want to be that inspiration for people, youth of not just my reservation, but youth everywhere, that even though your situation historically says you can't do something, that you can do that. Me being able to get into a private undergrad university and then have it paid for as well as get graduate school paid for. It is something that historically Native Americans from reservation history says that we can't do. So that's definitely one of my end goals, is to prove history wrong, change history, of course. But, and that would be through either policy or nonprofit or both at the same time.
Thank you. Now, when we spoke the last time, you were discussing, I asked you about, you know, the issues on the reservation. It's so difficult. It's difficult for kids anywhere these days. I'm glad I'm the age of where I am. There's so much going on for you guys. But it's difficult, particularly on the reservation or in an environment like that where there's so many issues surrounding just getting through your day. Forget about having to study and do well in school. And you were talking about how you see a lot of lost potential among students who are on the reservation. Do you remember that, and can you talk to me about that again?
Yeah, so one of the things that I've seen it happen on the reservation is a lot of students have a lot of, maybe even more potential than I had when I was their age. But what happens is a lot of them, they reach a certain point where they don't have, it's basically the deciding point, whatever age that might be, depending on the person, but they don't have like a support system or even just someone to aspire to, or to feel like they're going to, if they make a mistake, they have someone to fall back on or keep them going and keep their eye on like a dream or a goal that they want to reach and keep moving forward. So I feel like that's one of the biggest problems with youth on the reservation, is they feel like there's no one there that's acknowledging their hard work. So they decide there's a point where that motivation fades away, and it's a bad situation for youth when that happens. And as on the reservation as a whole, that's been what I see is one of the biggest problems, is like youth don't have, they don't have that support system. So that, I know I had my mother and my father, that was one of the big things for me, because I always knew, like, no matter what I did, I had someone who supported me and always would agree with no matter what I decided to do with my life. But they always told me to keep my goal in mind, especially when I felt like I didn't want to continue anymore, if something was hard, if I might not have been score, could have been personal life or whatever. That really got me through and kept me motivated, and it keeps me going every day whenever I feel like that support is gone, then I talk to one of them and they keep me going. I think that's something that a lot of youth lack in the schooling system or just in general on the reservation, and it causes a lot of potential to be lost.
Just a couple more questions. Along the lines of what you're going to do after, once you get your master's, et cetera, and you tell me your goals, and I don't know that there's a requirement, in my opinion. You know, I don't think anyone who leaves an environment that they grew up in has to go back to that, but there's that mindset, particularly among Native Americans and Lakota, that you want to go back and help your people. Do you plan on doing that? I mean, is the goal to get your degrees, et cetera, and then come back and stay at Pine Ridge, or kind of use it as a base and go other places, or do you even know right now?
So, my plan is to go back. That's always been the end goal for me. When I first accepted my offer to go to Scarsdale, New York for high school, my plan was always to go back and help my people where I'm from, not only because of the situation my family's in or has been, but because I see like so much potential in the reservation that I don't think it should be lost and wasted every day. I always had this goal of going back and somehow find this huge company or whatever that's going to not only help the people and put a lot of people work and stuff, but puts the reservation on the map and brings like more support and then like this chain reaction. Huge dream. But I definitely do plan going back, and either that be like I just said, like maybe go back and start a business and help people that way. But I want to go back, maybe be on tribal council and make change from the inside out. I think that's one of the easiest ways to do that. But no matter what I do, I plan to stay involved with the nonprofit sector to do that organization, specifically towards the youth because of that potential that they do have coming out off the reservation.
One last question, but let me give you a comment as well. Don't let the size of your dream stop you from trying to pursue it. Just because it's huge doesn't mean it's unattainable. And sometimes, you know, if you shoot for 100%, you shoot for 100%, and maybe you only get 85%, but you're still better off than you were before. That said, what would you like to say to Native and or non-Native, doesn't matter, youth in general, with regard to giving them advice as to how to hang in there, get ahead, whatever you want to say?
Definitely. If I had to tell youth, specifically Native American youth, anything, or a word of advice, I would say never stop dreaming. Dream big. Sounds cliche, but that's what's going to get you motivated in life and get you there. And it may not always seem like people are watching you or supporting you or nothing's working, nothing's paying off, but you never know. So, that one person might notice your hard work. I mean, that's what happened for me. I always worked hard, even though sometimes it didn't seem like it was going to get me anywhere. And then one day, my life was completely changed, altered my future because I worked hard in school and I was top of my class and someone noticed. And that's how I started my journey onto my master's degree, actually, and then reaching those goals. So it's definitely always find someone, a supporter, someone that's going to keep you motivated. That could be anyone. It doesn't have to be family. It could be a teacher. It could be anyone. You can always reach out to me, and if you need a supporter, I'm a full supporter of all big dreams. So that would be my message for any youth, especially Native American youth from my reservation.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Please feel free to keep in touch with me as you continue on down your road, and we'll see if we can check in with you and get your next progress report somewhere down the road.
Yeah, definitely. Sounds good.
Okay, take care of yourself.
Yep, you too.